On the back page, I want you to put a small dot right in the middle of that circle. That big circle is God. That small dot in the middle is you. Nothing can get to you unless it goes through the circle. And since the circle is God, then God had to allow that something to get to you. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
All right? So you can say with all assurance, whatever comes into my life, God knew about it. God allowed it. God has provided for it. All right? Turn back to page one, if you will. So once again, are trials a normal part of the Christian life? The answer is yes. If you have your Bible, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning with verse 10. I want you to listen because it pertains to you and me as Christians, as believers in Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy 3:10. But you followed my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, perseverance, persecutions, and sufferings, such as happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra. What persecutions I endured. Underline the word endured, or you have something like that word. I endured. I was able to stand. I was able to make a stay. What persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. And indeed, verse 12, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Non-negotiable. You can count on it. If you live godly, if you live for Christ, if you live by the word of the living God. Now let's begin with the introduction. First, James tells us that trials are inevitable. Trials are inevitable. Now, since trials are inevitable, I would like for you to write this. So prepare now. So prepare now. If trials are inevitable, then prepare now. Trials are a time here in verses 2 and 3 of testing. What is testing? What is God going to do with your faith as a Christian? He's going to challenge your faith. He's going to stretch your faith. Because it will produce something really good, which all Christians must have, is producing endurance. So James tells us that trials are inevitable, so prepare now. Note that James doesn't say, count it all joy if you fall into various trials. Instead, he uses the word when. Like death itself, trials are inescapable and unavoidable. Few things are certain in this world, but troubles, hardship, challenges to faith, count on it, they will come. Here's another little note I would like for you to write down. In every trial, God wants to show us how strong He can be. In every trial, God wants to show you and me how strong He can be and how faithful He is and how sustaining He is. Second, James calls the trials various. While we can expect trials to come, we have no idea what form they will take. The Greek word for various can mean diverse or many-colored. In other words, trials occur in all shapes and sizes. Like unwelcome guests, they burst into our lives unannounced and stay way too long. Trials may be frequent and frustrating and life-changing. We can never predict. But James also pulls back the veil and lets his readers see the inner workings of trials, revealing that they have a purpose. As he cuts the pathway of the Christian journey through life, James declares that the trials produce both imminent and ultimate results. Verse 2, consider or count it all joy, my brethren. Underline the word brethren. We know it believes to believing Jews, but it also refers to believers in Jesus Christ down through the ages. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you, and that is the believer in Jesus Christ, encounter various trials. Underline the word various and also trials. Here it refers to difficulties that will come from the outside of you. Now let's begin with the word consider. When you look it up in the Greek language, it refers to a Greek aorist imperative. This verb tense means get this done immediately and decisively as called for and each time the need arises. Because, listen closely, because Satan is there also to tear us down and wipe us out. A, consider means what comes first in priority. What is the leading thought? It will be what he has already mentioned in that same chapter. Chapter 1, it is God, give me wisdom. And what is biblical wisdom? It is what? Spiritual insight and spiritual understanding. What is the leading thought about what God is allowing in my life at the moment that will enable me, that is by divine persuasion and the power of Almighty God and the leadership of the Holy Spirit, will enable me to properly consider and evaluate the person or influence that is leading me at that very moment. B, consider has nothing to do with inner feelings or emotion or opinion, but on the weighing or comparing of facts. Write down these words. Proper evaluation leads to mental stability. Proper evaluation is not an option. It is an absolute must. Question: where will you get the facts? Answer: from the Bible, the Word of the Living God. Words of absolute truth. There is no higher truth. There is no further truth to deal with. It is the truth of Almighty God that comes from Him and His Word. So where do you get the facts? From the Bible, the Word of the Living God. For God's Word is what? Absolute truth and absolute reality. Question number 2. Should your decisions be deliberate? Underline the word deliberate. It means thought out and planned in advance and careful. What would your answer be on that one? Yes. It is yes. Turn to page 2. Top of page 2, number 3. To consider means what thought do you have in mind that determines how other thoughts are going to follow from it. So is the first thought you have the most important thought? Is the first thought going to be the springboard that is going to open up more thoughts that are to come and are going to follow? Number 4, to consider means where is your reasoning coming from? Are you familiar with Romans chapter 12, verse 2, which talks about the renewing of the mind? Which leads to the question, how is your mind changed? Number 1, by prayer. So if you know the Word of God, and if you have wisdom, which is understanding of the Word of God, is your prayer going to be what it should be in that particular situation? I look at Mr. Hicks over here. He's sitting in his wheelchair. I know he has the proper thoughts. He has thoughts of priority that are going to help him through the day. He's not going to feel sorry for himself. He has no thought ever of cursing God like Job's wife did, if you read the book of Job. He has the right thought. It is number 1 thought. It is priority thought. And every thought that is going to follow in the rest of that day is going to be a thought that is good. It's going to produce a good attitude, a right attitude. And when he prays, He's not going to say, God, why in the world am I in this wheelchair? He's going to say, thank you, God, today I am alive. And thank you for the privilege to praise you and love you and adore you and offer thanksgiving unto you. Thank you that I'm in this situation, but I'm still growing in grace. I'm growing in Christ's likeness. I'm growing in the maturity of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm growing in that which is good, which is the perfect will of God. And by the way, you can't improve on what is perfect. So God's will is perfect in every way and in every situation that you're going to find yourself. All right, back to the printout. You'll do it by prayer. How do you change your mind? Number one, by prayer. Number two, by reading the Word of God. Chapter 1, the book of James. If I have been reading chapter 1 and something is allowed to come into my life that is going to cripple me, that is going to put me down for a short time or a big time, because I have been reading, I know that God has allowed something to come into my life. Maybe God is trying to say for the first time, I want your full attention in what we are about to confront right here. And I want you to have the right thought. I want you to have a thought of priority. I want your thinking to be 1, 2, 3 as it should be. All right, back to the printout. Then there's what? Is reflecting on God's Word. How is the mind changed? Number one, by prayer. Number two, by reading the Word of the living God, because it is absolute truth and absolute reality. It is also by reflecting on the Word of the living God. It's not reading it and closing the Bible. When you read, then reflect and say, Heavenly Father, I'm asking the Holy Spirit for wisdom to give me insight and understanding of what I have just read. So when something comes into my life and is allowed into my life by the will of God, I will be ready for it. Look at the word all. All. All means every detail. Consider your trial, hardship, adversity. How do you do it? In detail, not in a general way. Let's just say I have a nice sweet potato pie right here. If I did, you'd never get a bite of it, okay? And that's kind of the way it goes, but I do share every now and then. When I usually look at a pie, I'm going to look at it in general. But then when it's time to slice that pie, we're going to slice it into pieces. Let's just say it's going to have 8 or 9 pieces that is going to come from that pie. When I looked at it in general, I'm not really seeing what I need to see. And if I'm not seeing what I need to see, I'm not going to think what I need to think. I'm not going to react how I need to react to the situation that God has put me in. Stay with me. All means every detail. What does He want us to consider? What does He want us to evaluate? It is what? Every detail in the trial, every detail in the hardship, every detail in the adversity, not in a general way, but in a very detailed way. Here's the point. We fall into error by only looking to the whole without also grasping the meaning of the parts that make up the whole. Likewise, errors result from viewing a part in isolation from the whole. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 18. It is good that you take hold of one thing, that is righteousness, and also not let go of the other, which is wisdom, insight, and understanding. For the one who fears and worships God with all filled reverence will come forth with both of them. How many times do you look at salvation in a general way? Stop doing that, please. When you think about salvation, how many parts make up biblical salvation? When you think about salvation, there is sanctification. It is being set apart for a divine use by the Word of the living God and also by the divine influence and divine enablement and power of the Holy Spirit of God. Ephesians 5:18, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled, controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. Be a child of God who responds in a positive way to what? Divine influence, or influence that is divinely persuasive. Once again, it is good that you take hold of one thing. Righteousness is good. The salvation of God is good. You look at it in general. That's okay. And also not let go of the other. What also is going to make up salvation? It is going to be spiritual insight and spiritual understanding that is going to come from the Word of God. All right? So what is he saying? We must develop, and that is a lifetime of development, a spiritual viewpoint for living life. Then look at joy. Joy means grace recognized. Underline the word grace. Grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. So it means grace recognized. What is grace recognized? What is joy? Joy suggests an end times hope of deliverance from trials. The joy with which a believing Christian endures trials is the present is a sign of their hope for future relief. Mr. Hicks, I'll use you again and some others. I know you would say, I can divinely tolerate what's in my life. I can divinely accept what's taking place in my life at this very moment. And I would say, Mr. Hicks, why is that so? Why do you still have a smile on your face in the condition and shape that you are in? Because one day, upon physical death, the Bible says you're going to be ushered immediately into the presence of the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And what was once keeping me down, what was once had me tied down, what was once holding me down in a way that I did not like at all, until I learn the reason why. But I know one day I'm going to be delivered. I'm going to have a resurrected, glorified body. I will not even remember the moments that I spent in this wheelchair. It will be gone. It will be over. Thank God for that. Amen. Conley, I'll say the same thing for you. I know you're a man that likes to get up and go. You did that most of your life, didn't you? And I'm sure, like all of us, when your situation took place, there was a lot of questioning going on. Heavenly Father, have I done something, or do I need to correct something? He said, no, I'm just going to allow this to come into your life because I'm going to challenge your faith even more. I'm going to stretch your faith even more. You're going to find out that you can do just as much in that wheelchair as you could on your own 2 feet. I'm going to let you know that I am all-powerful, all-knowing, everywhere present, and all-sufficient. I want you to know that when you can't walk, I'm going to walk you. When you can't carry yourself, I'm going to carry you. In other words, you can still go any and everywhere that I want you to go. It hasn't hindered you at all. Maybe you thought that it has, but it has not. God is still blessing you. He's still loving you. He's still revealing things to you. And one day, like Mr. Hicks, you too are going to get up out of that wheelchair. Death is going to come. It's going to deliver you. And you're going to sing hallelujah. Now, I don't know how you can sing. I've never sat that close to you before. But I'll tell you, it's going to be good. And you're going to sing in such a way that you'll realize this deliverance. Deliverance. Kelly, you got a bad heart. But you're still a good person. Let me clarify that. I know you're sick of this heart. You're tired of it. They ought to give you an Harold a suite in Dallas and have you a chauffeur as many trips as you've taken. But I want to thank you that your faith is strong. I want to thank you that God has been sustaining you. Kelly, you probably should have been dead long ago. But the only one keeping you alive is God himself. And he's got a purpose for it. And you know what it is? You have a testimony. Mr. Hicks, you have one. Connie, you have one. How many of you would raise your hand and say, I have a testimony?
Amen.
I have a testimony myself. And God is sustaining me. He's holding me up. He's walking me. He's delivering me. He's giving me everything I need every day. He gives me the food to eat, the clothes to put on, a house to live in, a bed to sleep in. He's given me purpose. You still have a divine purpose, and you'll have it until the day that you die. Amen? And Kelly, yours is not over yet either. So hang in and hang on. Okay? All right. God's still there. He's still there. Joy. The Christian accesses God's infinite, what is infinite? Unlimited? Unlimited grace. How does he do it? Through faith. What is faith? Faith is, number one, divine persuasion. It is the Holy Spirit divinely persuading you. Let me ask you this. Did you know within you there is persuasion taking place? God is either persuading you or Satan is either persuading you, or they're both working at the same time. But faith is divine persuasion. How will you respond to it? I'll trust you, God. I will have confidence in you, the living God, my living God. Divine persuasion. True joy is internal and eternal. Biblical joy would even thrive in suffering. Lee Williams, Sarah, I watched her suffering for a time. And in her suffering, there was joy. There was endurance. There was perseverance. I'd get a call at 12 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning. Lee would say, Terry, can you come? Sarah's falling down in the floor. You know how that goes. I need some help. I can't pick her up by myself. We'd wrap a sheet around her and pull her back up in the recliner. And there she'd stay, hopefully, until the morning time. Biblical joy will even thrive in suffering. This joy is God leaning toward us. What is joy? I couldn't quite grasp that for a little bit, Jeff. Joy. It is God leaning toward you. Let's read it and finish it. This joy is God leaning toward us, working His eternal purpose. Where's your agenda? Don't get caught up with your purpose. Don't get caught up with what you want to do. God can slow you down and get our attention. Because living is all about Him. Living in us and through us. It's all about His purpose. It's all about His agenda. This joy is God leaning toward us, working His eternal purpose. This is God's grace at work, doing His good. This deep-seated, eternal joy roots in Christ's triumph, so we live from victory, not for victory. Look at the word when. The word when means at the time it happens. At the time up happens, will you be prepared? Will you be ready? Or are you going to have to go through a process where you think you're going to lose your mind until you get a grip on what God has allowed to come into your life? How many times do we say, and how much time do we spend, oh God, what's going on? Oh God, what's taking place? Oh God, how do I deal with this? Oh God, help me, I'm about to lose my mind. Are we about to lose our mind because there hasn't been a renewing of the mind in the Word of the living God? There hasn't been worship like he has asked for. There hasn't been prayer. There hasn't been a reflection on the Word of the living God. We haven't asked Holy Spirit. I need the power of God in my life. I need divine persuasion in my life to uproot and clear out the bad thoughts. Are you ready? Are your thoughts already lined up for the next event God is going to allow to happen in your life? And is the first thought the one of priority that is going to launch the others in proper sequence? This deep-seated eternal joy roots in Christ's triumph, so we live from victory. I'm not fighting for victory. I've already got victory. My victory came in Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection.
Amen.
Get that lined up in your life with the thoughts to go along with it. I say that because the other attack is probably around the corner. It's coming. When? At the time it happens. Encounter means falling into tests that seemingly surround and completely envelop the believer. Heavenly Father, I feel so surrounded. I feel like I'm in a deep, dark hole. How am I going to get out of it? Is this deep, dark hole your problem, or is the problem you're not spiritually prepared to meet the situation? Various means full of variety with many kinds of manifestations. How is God going to deal with you? I don't know, however he chooses. Page 3. Life is full of a great variety of diversity of trials that befall believers. Okay, Joel. Come up here and tell us about your health, wealth, and prosperity. How the path is going to be rosy. But I believe the Apostle Paul had something else to say, and James had something else to say, and God has something else to say. Tell them about also the adversity and the hardship and the trials that are going to come. And you'll never get a grip on them. You'll never understand. You'll never have victory unless you have been in the Word of God and you know how to handle them. Instead of them handling you. So life is full of a great variety or diversity of trials that befall believers in Jesus Christ. And you say, God, I thought when I got saved that all of that was going to be behind and gone. Talk to Jesus. Let me rise above the believer. It's easy to say I'm a believer, I'm a Christian. But could you have done what Jesus did? How did he rise above it? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I'm doing this because I know the sun's coming up in the morning. And I know through my death, burial, and resurrection, I have won the battle. I have victory. And that victory is here to stay and will bless my children throughout all eternity. What is a part of salvation? The victory that God has given us. You gotta know it. There are the torments of body and mind. Some people do like this and say, I can't take it anymore. I've had it. I'm losing my mind. Good. Lose it to Jesus Christ. Lose it to the Word of God. Lose it to praise and worship. When Jesus was confronted by Satan, what did he do? He quoted Scripture. If Jesus can do it, why can't you? It'll work for you just like it worked for him. It'll always work. There are the torments of body and mind, but God's grace is sufficient for every trial, whatever its color. James is not saying when trials come, I'm telling you to force a smile and ignore the pain. Mm-mm. Brother James is calling for a positive Christian attitude toward trials, which he views as opportunities. My gosh! Is there any child of God in his right mind that if he didn't know the book of James or anything else in the Bible, that when adversity and trials and hardships were coming, he'd have a positive attitude? But brother, you've got the information. God's telling you exactly what you need to know. James is called what? Brother James is calling for a positive Christian attitude toward trials, which he views as opportunities. That's strange, because none of us never would. Under God's grace for growth and development in the Christian life. Terry, do you understand all of this? No, I don't. You say, man, I was up running and gunning, growing and going. How am I going to do better in a wheelchair? Ask God. Is that a problem with Him?
No.
Christian faith must apprehend that beneficial results are to be derived from such experiences and so accept them as occasions for rejoicing. If Satan was sitting on your couch today and you went home and you've been going through hell itself and you just started rejoicing and he looks at his minions and his demons and says, we have put this Christian through hell itself, and look at him. He's in here in the living room, and he's just rejoicing and praising God, and I can't stand it, and you can't stand it. We got to get out of here and leave. It's too much.
Yep.
While Christians should look at the bright side of their trials, such trials are not to be sought or needlessly rushed into. When Christians are brought into trials through no fault of their own, do you see? It's not that you did something. So don't get down on yourself. Okay? Because remember, Satan wants to take you down, wipe you out, and tear you up. When Christians are brought into trials through no fault of their own, but by God's providential ordering, here's what hit me. God has said to some of His people, and many of His people, nearly all of His people, you're going to run and gun and go. Then when you turn 30, 40, or 50, my providential ordering is going to step into your life. Did you know that, Lee? You didn't know when, did you? You didn't know what. You didn't know where, you didn't know how, but life was really going to change. He may feel such trust in divine support as to rejoice in an opportunity. Look at that last short line. Of proving His faithfulness. Got a little prayer for you. You don't have it. Here's the way this little prayer goes. Lord, You said that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. I pray that You will feed our soul with Your Word so our faith will grow big enough to believe that with You all things are possible. Give us unfailing certainty that what You've promised to do, You will do. Make our faith a shield of protection. Put it into action to move the mountains in our lives. Your word says the just shall live by faith. May we live such a life you've called us to experience. May we know with complete certainty how great is your goodness, which you have laid up for those who fear you, which you have prepared for those who trust in you. Most gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for your words. Thank you that we can be of assurance of everything you say.